Hello there, friends, and welcome to the virtual show, the only primetime VR talk show. I'm your host, Wes. With me, as always, my good friend, Roots. Roots, welcome back, friend.
Yeah, man, I'm it feels good to be back. And one of the weird things is I'm still looking for like all sorts of weird glitches or ready to shut off backgrounds and cameras. And you know, I told you behind the scenes that it was so bad that last time we streamed, I was like, I don't want to do that again. But now I can breathe. I've got a nice relaxing lava flow behind me, and I'm ready to go.
A freshie.
Yeah, excited.
So here we're back after a weird few weeks, to say the least. I mean, just one thing on top of another, like unprecedented fuckery over the last couple of weeks. But we're back. We're powered by all new hardware. Virtual Strangers 2.5 coming at you live today, and feels good. We need to get back to normal, Roots. I feel like it's been a nice little break, but it's time for some normalcy.
I feel lost. I don't even know what's going on in the VR world without Wes telling me what's happening. And it does feel good to have a freshie. We were just talking about my freshie video card. You know, it's all shiny. It's running like super quiet. I actually have the fans all the way up, and it's not even interfering with my my mic. That's how quiet this thing is. It's amazing.
You gotta love EVGA, right? Like you have a problem with your graphics card that's just about out of warranty? Well, here, have a brand new one with a brand new warranty.
Yeah, 3 years. Right. I mean, might as well be brand new. And I did a lot of research, Wes, into it. And EVGA, if they didn't have my 2080, they would have given me a 3070 Ti or a 3080. They would have upgraded. Many people get upgrades. People going out of warranty. A lot of people, this is what I've heard from people. They say, okay, so what? They gave you a warranty 3 years on a new card. You know, it's like a new card. Like, companies don't even want to honor the warranty they have. Like, oh, you're a day out of warranty? Sorry, pal. To me, that's huge. I don't know that I buy another video card out away from anybody else but EVGA. And EVGA, we do want to be sponsored, so throw us a jingle. So
yeah, a lot of these other companies, man, they outsource their warranties and things, and so you'll contact the manufacturer, and they're like, well, has it been longer than a year? Oh, it's been longer than a year. Contact Asurion. So then you contact Asurion, and they're like, well, no, you got to contact the manufacturer. That's not us. That's them. And it's a wild goose chase, and nothing at the end of the rainbow but a big pot of dookie.
Yeah, absolutely. PSVR Underground says Wes is in Silent Hills. He's definitely in Creepville, that's for sure. I'd like my peaceful lava flow behind me a lot more than Wes's Creepyville back there.
Yeah, good call, AJ, and thanks for stopping by. Yeah, you know, we did the last episode we did, the one I did with Masher this past Sunday, was all about the Silent Hills conspiracy, which is about to get a new wrinkle here on Tuesday as the Abandon app goes live. And of course, mine's preloaded and ready to go. Normally, I have Half-Life Alyx going on behind me 9 times out of 10, but I wasn't quite ready to leave the world of PT yet. I'm still super excited for it. And it kind of matches today's theme. And speaking of today's theme, you know, I said at the top that I'm excited to get back to doing the show. I'm excited to get back to normalcy. But beyond all of that, I've been excited for the better part of this week to get into today's topic. So your timing, my friend, your return could not be at a better time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that being said, outside of we're, I guess, saying hi to everybody. You were just telling me we got a schedule to keep. We got a lot to cover, and we're going to do it. And so I guess let's get into the, let's greet the chat as we always do, right?
Absolutely. We absolutely have a lot to cover. I do have a hard out today, so no time to dilly-dally. Let's say hello to our friends. And we have already heard from our friend AJ. Thanks for coming by once again. Evie, all right, we're going to need to get this right. Evie Man versus Gas. What's up, buddy? EVGA is the brand I always buy too, as well as power supplies and video cards. I think that they are quality. No problem so far. Yeah, I concur wholeheartedly. My graphics card this generation, as well as my graphics card last generation, both EVGA, and they have won a customer for life in me.
Yeah, for me, for sure, dude. Like, I can't tell you how much it sucked when my card started doing weird stuff. Like, I, especially now when you can't get a card anywhere, any good cards. And then to have it be so easy and them to honor it and then extend that warranty, to me is huge. And it's what I'm looking for in every company I do business with. So,
yeah. You know who else looks for a company that likes to extend it until it's huge?
My mom!
Oh, yeah, she does.
Big welcome back to the My Mom button, by the way, too. We had to go manual with manual My Moms on the last episode.
Right? Well, you know, you could do My Mom. You know, there's a lot of different variations. but yeah, Wolveraza says he's happy to get into some PSVR 2 news for sure as well.
And, well, you have come to the right place, my friend, because we are all about the PSVR 2, or as I like to call it, PlayStation 5 VR. Traveling Man 3775, I want to hear from Westradamus. He knows all. Well, interesting that you say that, because a lot of what we're covering today is confirmation of things that we said the last time we talked about PlayStation 5 VR. When Upload did their leak, when they released their leaked specs, which kind of gave us half of the picture with PlayStation 5 VR, we went further back and dug through the news articles and gave you what we thought would be the other half of the picture. And as it turns out, thanks to our friends Without Parole, we now have some confirmation that pretty much everything we said on that episode, the episode was called PlayStation 5 VR and the Future of Gaming. Everything we said on that, 95% of it, has now been confirmed, which is really exciting, Ritz.
It is exciting, and it's kind of it actually saved me some money and solidified something. I was debating with you whether I pick up the PSVR with my PlayStation 5, and I can't do it. I can't do it now. I've already played 99% of everything I want to play. I've got a couple of games I haven't. I would rather wait and put that money towards that and maybe something else in between and get that PSVR or 5 VR in all its glory, because I think it's going to be the best system out there. I think it's going to blow everything away, and I think all the people that have been shitting all over PlayStation 5 VR can suck it. They're going to have to come crawling, dude. They're going to have to come crawling, because if they want the best in a VR experience, I believe it's going to be on that system.
I think you're 100% right. But I will just say this. That's a long wait, brother. That's at least a year. At least a year.
Yeah, well, I've got Iron Man. I've got Fracked. Rush of Blood, I would love to play in again. Maybe I find a, like Mash was saying, he said, Far just look point. For a really...
Don't forget about Farpoint, bro.
Well, that's true. Well, that's your fave, dude. I can believe... And then I got to get an aim controller. Now you're spending all sorts of money, man.
You can go Masher's route. He didn't spend a bunch of money.
That's true. And I've looked at Facebook Marketplace, and I've almost gotten something a couple times. Now you got me wishy-washy going back and forth again. Damn it.
You're going to do it. I have faith. Space Denison in chat. What's up, bro? As is Onikazi and Lipnox. Lipnox says, it has begun. It has indeed, friend. Traveling Man 3775, Island Kara, people hungry, Roots, hungry for some Virtual Strangers VR talk. And I say, let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it, because I've been looking forward to this one.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Anyway, 2021 has been a great year for PlayStation VR. Last year, we saw PlayStation VR take a back seat as Sony prepared to launch their next-gen console, PlayStation 5. As 2021 approached, many had begun to question whether Sony had any future plans for VR at all. The big PSVR releases had become so few and far between that many people had lost faith, despite numerous public statements from the top brass at Sony. It was a dark time indeed. And then it happened. Jim Ryan confirmed for the masses what the faithful had known all along. Next-gen VR is coming to PlayStation 5. It wasn't long before the new controllers were revealed, and since then we have seen a revival of the original PSVR, with tons of great new games that have proven that this five-year-old hardware can still be viable in the era of the Oculus Quest and Valve Index. So it's been an interesting time, Roots. You know, we had our naysayers through the better part of last year, basically prematurely heralding the end of PlayStation VR. And it's funny, man. Upload VR, I kind of felt, was at the top of that list of people who were just constantly down on PSVR. And then it was like overnight, like a switch flipped. And the moment that Jim Ryan said what we all already knew, almost everybody jumped right back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, because everything what they knew was amazing. And what's funny, Wes, is like they said, like a year before, we even said when we were talking about it, like this is, I'm just saying what they said a year ago. It's just nobody was really listening. And I go with traveling, man. I go with the Westerdamus thing. I was just even telling my friend that was visiting from Florida today that that you really have a pulse, your finger on the pulse of VR. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I can help add to the show, but you really, really dig in. And that's why I get my news from you, Wes.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Space Denison in chat says, I agree. Quest 3 will launch around PSVR 2. I think that they're going to do what they do, and they're going to attempt to beat everybody to market. So I don't think that they wanted to release Quest 3 next year, but I think they absolutely are going to now. We have, you know, PlayStation 5 VR coming. We have Apple VR coming. We now are starting to hear rumbles of possibly a standalone coming from Valve. I think that we're going to see Facebook pull the trigger a little sooner than they wanted to. And as much as Carmack wanted to talk down eye tracking the other day, I think it's pretty much a given on all the next-gen headsets now because of Sony coming out and leading the way with it.
Oh, plus AI, man. It's going to be a lot better if the eye tracking's in there. Wolveraza says PSVR 1 is still dead. Just need the PSVR 2 to come soon. Wes, what do you think about that?
I think that he needs to stay tuned if he thinks that, because there are things coming within the next month that might change his mind.
Oh, God. So I need to get out. Are you saying I need to run out and get a PSVR in the next month, Wes?
That's what I've been saying all along.
Damn it. I need to start looking.
Anyway, as excitement for PlayStation 5 VR continued to grow, players began to wonder what the next gen would bring. And in early May, Upload VR, there's your upload again, leaked some specs for the next iteration of console-based virtual reality. The leaks answered a lot of questions, but it also left a lot of questions unanswered. It was at this time that we produced an episode called PlayStation 5 VR and the Future of Gaming. In this discussion, we looked at the upload leaks in the context of previous statements made by top Sony executives. By the end of the episode, we were able to make a pretty good prediction as to what the next Sony headset would bring. It was enough to bring excitement to even the most hardcore PC VR enthusiasts. Scion, I'm talking to you. But at the end of the day, all it really amounted to were leaks and predictions. It was all just hearsay until now. We began to hear rumors a couple of months ago that a PSVR developer summit had been scheduled for some time in August, and the reason behind the event was to set the foundation upon which the PS5 VR content library would be built. Early this past Wednesday morning, Brian Paul and PSVR Without Parole confirmed that the event had indeed come to pass. But that wasn't all he confirmed. He also confirmed nearly everything that we had hoped for with regards to this headset, and then some. So that begs the question, Roots, what has been confirmed exactly?
Well, some good stuff, actually, in my opinion.
Let me ask you this. Were you dialed in? Did you catch all this stuff in real time the way that some of us did?
No, I don't do any of that stuff in real time. I think it's funny because everybody wants to... I like to watch. This is what I like to do. I like for someone like yourself or Brian Paul or somebody to break it down for me, because a lot of times there's a lot of fluff and a lot of stuff in the middle that Roots doesn't have time for. I'm too lazy, Wes. I'll just be honest. So I wait for experts to break it down, and then I'm really focusing on what's important.
Well, you know, it was an interesting week, because, you know, it was this past Wednesday morning. And when I say early morning, I mean, it was like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. early. And right in the middle of what most people would consider the night, we got a breaking news from PSVR Without Parole. And that isn't something that you typically see. You typically see them post in the late afternoon, early evening. So I knew it had to be something important. And we knew that this developer summit was coming in August. I had no idea that it was coming so early. Like, literally, August gets here and bam, there it is. So yeah, it was exciting. When I saw that little notification go across the top of my screen,
you got excited.
We knew we had something cool to look at.
That's cool. I just think it's exciting, the news in general. And I just think it's cool to finally be able to have some fact behind that. You know, all the PSVR haters need to take a step back, because we've been saying everybody wants AAA gaming, but nobody wants the cord. Everybody wants AAA gaming, but they want it, you know, they want everything at the same time. And you sacrifices. And we said at the time that Sony was going to put out the best stuff. I heard a rumor today that Returnal's coming. Well, maybe to VR is a rumor, but if that's true, oh my God, Wes, like I will run. If it's on this, if I can play it on the PS5, if it came out today and I could play it with the PSVR, I'm getting one, or PSVR. Yeah, I'm getting one today. So,
yeah. Well, we're going to get into AAA games with regards to PlayStation 5 VR. But that rumor, I heard that rumor like 2 months ago from PD. I never said anything to anybody about it because I didn't know if it was one of those off the record type deals. But when I streamed Returnal this past Wednesday on the channel, PD was in the chat, and we actually talked about that.
I love some Returnal, and if I could be in those environments, I've said it before, I don't need anything to be different. Still third person, still the game controller. Don't make it weird. Just let me be in it.
Yeah, Meow Meow the Gamer Cat says, it'll be interesting to see how compelling Quest Pro /3 color pass through AR/MR stuff will be too. Yeah, I think that this is something that we're going to start to see creep into our hardware, and I wouldn't be absolutely surprised if we didn't have some of this kind of functionality on PlayStation 5 VR, although there has been no indication of it thus far. We're talking about a device that's supposed to be future-proof up to 5 years, and I think some AR capability, we will see something like that during the lifespan of this device. Is it something that they promote heavily from the get-go? Well, that remains yet to be seen. But we'll know when they name it. Like, if they call it anything other than PSXR, then we'll know that the AR is probably going to take a back seat with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
PSVR Underground says, White Moon Dreams has been awfully quiet after saying they wanted to do the PSVR 2 port. Yeah, I noticed that myself, and they're not the only ones either. Like, people playing coy here. You know, we'll wait to the time. I was about to get into the software part of the discussion, but we're gonna wait to talk about software. Let's break down what has been confirmed with the hardware, and let's start with the optics. So, as previously leaked by Upload and by Bloomberg, the PlayStation 5 VR will indeed carry a 4K OLED panel, most likely manufactured by Samsung, which we now know is capable of refresh rates up to 120 hertz. Now, Roots, we knew, like I just said, due to those leaks, that this was going to be a 4K OLED. We weren't quite sure if it was going to be capable of 120 hertz. We assumed that it would be because the OG PlayStation VR is capable of 120 hertz. But now we have confirmation again from PlayStation VR Without Parole that it is going to be 120 hertz. So good news on that front.
That is good news, because on the PlayStation 5, you can play some games in 4K, like Returnal, and you can have ray trace lighting, and you can also play in 60 frames, but you can go to 120 in a performance mode. And so depending on how good this is, I could see maybe not 4K, maybe a little bit less 4K, but you have 120 on a game like Returnal or Contractors or where, a game where it matters, right? So
yeah, and I'd like to be clear with regards to refresh rate, it isn't par for the course, because we did say that the original was capable of up to 120 hertz, which is true with regards to the screen, but with regards to what's powering it, you know, PlayStation 4 had to use a lot of smoke and mirrors to get to a perceived 90 hertz or a perceived 120 hertz. Not going to be the case this time around. PlayStation 5 is going to run natively at 90 or natively at 120. It's not going to be any of these duplicate frame smoke and mirrors jobs that we had from the last gen.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, I was telling somebody today, a customer, one of the best, I don't feel this way about all hardware I buy, but one of the best decisions I made was a couple weeks ago when I picked up the PS5. I'm just so impressed with this console. And I laugh at anybody that says Xbox is anywhere near Sony in this iteration, because they're doing something special. And I get excited, man, like to have the haptics in this controller in my headset. My God, like, I don't know, man. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, we'll get to all that. We're going to stick with the optics here for a little bit longer, though. So anyway, we now know that the 4K OLED panel is capable of up to 120 hertz. Furthermore, we now know the panel is going to be HDR capable with a peak brightness, get this, Roots, which is up to 3 times brighter than the RGB AMOLED that is currently found in Gen 1 PlayStation VR. This is interesting, Roots, because Gen 1 PSVR, even today, is one of the brightest, most colorful displays in all of VR. So to hear that, to hear that this is that much brighter than the original just really goes to show you what it means to have an HDR display.
I absolutely. And I think Sony's improving on almost every aspect of everything. The HDR, I can't wait to see how good the colors pop inside that headset, right? Like, especially in one of those games where it's just colors everywhere. It's gonna be awesome.
The HDR display, in line with statements that were made a couple years ago actually by Sony's Dominic Mallinson, which also included a proposed small increase in field of view. This too has been confirmed by Without Parole, as we now know that the PS5 VR will have a 110 degree field of view. It does fall a bit short of the predicted 120 degrees, but still 10 degrees more than the original PSVR and 20 degrees more than Oculus Quest. So a lot of people less than impressed with the 110 degree field of view, but it's an increase, Roots. It's an increase over what we're using right now on a day in and day out basis, most of us. And it's an increase over the original. And, while I would have liked to have 120 or 130 myself, I'm certainly not disappointed by the only 10-degree increase.
No, especially if you're coming. I mean, I usually use the Quest most out of everything, or the Quest 2. So, it's going to be a big increase, right?
It's going to be a noticeable increase, to say the least. Onikazi asks, what's the nit brightness? Well, we don't have the detailed specs from Sony just yet, but it's a Samsung 4K HDR OLED panel. I'm sure that compared to anything else that's on the market right now, it's going to be fairly significant when we do get those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wolveraza says, well, how about the damn controllers? Well, we're going to get to the controllers, friends. And Eddie C coming through with the $5 Canadian support. No comment, just wants to support the channel. We appreciate it, Eddie. Thank you very much for the tip. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Anyway, the increased field of view, not the only similarity that the new headset will share with today's top VR headsets. We also now know that the next PSVR headset will use Fresnel lenses. This is a curious move, to say the least, as PlayStation VR today has the best lenses in the game to this very day. And to move to the rings, well, it brings with it some unwanted god rays. And we don't know until we have the headset just how prominent the god rays are going to be. We're going to have to put it in the wait and see category. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about this one, Roots. I'm not sure. I know that this headset, you know, from a hardware standpoint, is a vast departure pretty much in every way from generation one PlayStation VR. So it's interesting to see them jump into the boat with everyone else here and go to Fresnel.
Well, it makes you wonder, you know, the PSVR have a softness to it that they had to put something that was, there's still god rays, something's blocking it, right? Or am I wrong on how they do it?
You're thinking about you're thinking about Samsung Odyssey.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I have faith in Sony, and maybe they're gonna come out with some way of getting rid of the god rays. They've actually came a long way. Like even with the Quest too, the god rays are there, but it's weird. It's like they're not shooting directly at you. It's kind of weird, man. When I think about it, I'm like, why is this not right in my eyes? It seems like it should still be, but I don't know what they're doing to diffuse it.
Yeah, that is something that is quite notable, is that over the years, with regards to Oculus, the god rays and glare have become less and less and less. So they have made strides in this kind of lens technology. And with that said, it's not all bad either. Like there are advantages to the Fresnel lenses. Namely, they're a lot more durable. You know, when I got my first PSVR, it wasn't long before I had micro scratches all over the lenses. So when I got my second PSVR headset a few months later, I said, all right, we're going to be ultra careful with this one. I bought a bunch of lens pins, and we're going to make sure this one doesn't get a scratch on it. It didn't matter, Roots. It got micro scratches all over it as well. That thing was pretty much impossible to keep from scratching. Now, with that said, you can't tell it when you've got the headset on. You don't see any of it. It's just something that messes with my OCD. But the point is, my Oculus Quest, my Rift S, none of that, man. I could take like a washcloth from the bathroom and wipe those lenses off, and they're not going to scratch. There is that. That is one good thing about the Fresnel lenses, and maybe that has a little something to do with why they decided to go that direction.
Yeah, I would agree. And Mepper says Fresnel lenses, Fresnel, or Fresnel, or is it? Fresnel? I don't know. Fresnel lenses.
Fresnel.
Yeah. Well, they're lighter, and he thinks cheaper. And so if that's the case, that would be another one. But you have to think about, you know, Sony's, they want to put these headsets in millions of people's houses, and wouldn't it be better from a standpoint to not have people scratching them up and maybe trying to send them back or having, you know what I mean? So yeah, maybe that's another reason why they're switching.
Yeah, and we have to keep that in mind too. As we talk about all this awesome tech that they're going to be jamming into this new headset, we need to keep in mind that Sony can't bring a $1,000 headset to market. They're not Valve selling to the ultra enthusiast here. They're trying to get everyone, they want everyone who buys a PlayStation 5 to buy a PlayStation 5 VR. And the only way they're going to do that is by pricing this device no more than what the console costs. So I think we have a hard top limit of $500 here that they have to keep this thing in. So when we talk about these changes with regards to the lenses, when we talk about the field of view only being 10 degrees more instead of 20 or 30, we have to keep in mind that they have to be cost effective with this thing, and they have to they're likely going to be selling it at cost or at a loss. So all of this little stuff here, when you're talking about spread over millions of units, I mean, we're talking about a lot of money saved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to argue. As long as we get everything we want, I just want the AAA experience. I want the depth of the games. I want the Returnals of VR. You know what I mean? And that's, I think this is our best shot at it. So,
Mapper coming through with the $5 donation. Yo, yo, yo. Sorry I'm late. Bro, you're never late. You're always right on time. And thanks for the support.
I think that was MASH, wasn't it? Yeah, MASH.
Did I not say MASH?
You said Mapper.
Oh, well, there's a freebie for Mepper, huh?
Boom.
Sorry, Eric. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Like, my mouth said Mepper, but my mind, my heart said MASH.
That's right. Scion VR joined in the conversation, says, did I hear Ultra Enthusiast? If you did, then we're talking about you, Scion, because you are the Ultra Enthusiast. You have the most patience of anybody I know. You're waiting for the ultimate experience, and I think when you get it, it's going to blow you away.
I'd be interested to know what Scion thinks about the 10-degree increase in field of view. Is that enough for you, Scion? Are you impressed, or are you disappointed in that? Because, you know, it's not just a cost with regards to the increased panel size, right? When you talk about field of view, we're talking also about a cost with regards to the performance, because, you know, the wider the field of view, the more pixels that have to be rendered out, and all of that takes a toll on the game itself and the experience. So we can't forget that with regards to the field of view either.
And that's what, you know, we want the 4K, we want the HDR, we want the graphics, right? We want all of it. And so I'm sure Sony knows exactly what they're doing. I'm just psyched. I feel like it's coming next week, and I gotta wait a year.
What about you, Roots? Were you like terribly disappointed that the field of view wasn't? Because for me, like, as far as next gen features go, like, field of view was at the top of my list. Like, I want a legit 130, 140 degree field of view for my next gen headsets. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm not heartbroken, but I am a bit disappointed that that if this is only going to be a 10 degree increase.
I'm not, it doesn't bother me. Two reasons. One, I'm mainly the Quest is my driver. So if, for me, it's still going to seem like a bigger increase. And I was more, my main thing was this, PlayStation VR 2 or PlayStation 5 VR, it needed to have better tracking and it needed better controllers. And if it has those two things, I'm skipping around happy dandy, dude, because I can't stand the Move controllers. As much as people have dealt with them and have made them work, and they are amazing for what they are, I like analog sticks, and I want to run around with analog sticks like normal human beings.
All right. So we're gonna get to the controllers, you know, we talk about field of view and we talk about the Fresnel lenses kind of in a succession here, and you know, as we're talking about it, this 2 + 2 = 4 kind of goes off in my head. You know, Valve Index, among all of the consumer headsets, Valve Index pretty much has the widest field of view, and the way that they've done that is by manipulating the lenses. And when you think about that and you consider the switch that Sony's making here from their older glass lenses to these Fresnel lenses, it might be all because of the field of view. Like, they may not have been able to keep the old style of lenses and give us this 10 degree increase. Mm. So I ask you, Roots, is it a happy trade-off for you? Is the 10 extra degrees worth taking on a little bit of God rays?
Well, I mean, if they do it right, I don't mind the God rays for the Quest 2. I don't really notice them. And I think, like I said, I think Sony's going to come with a solution to it that maybe even Oculus hasn't came up with, and there might not be God rays at all. We're assuming there's God rays just from other Fresnel lenses, right? But maybe they've got some kind of way to diffuse it that you just don't see it.
So I'll pose this question to chat. So most of you have an idea of what the Oculus Quest 2 level of God rays and glare is. It's not much. It is noticeable sometimes. Not always. It is noticeable sometimes. So I pose this question to you. Which is more important to you? Is it to have God rays completely eliminated, or to have a little bit more field of view? I'd be interested to know what you all have to say with regards to this.
That's a good thing. I think it's a good trade-off. In my personal opinion, I don't think it'll be that big a deal.
Yeah, well, time will tell. One question that remains to be answered with regards to the device's OLED panel is the pixel arrangement. Now, we all know that PSVR 1 can produce a much sharper picture than the resolution specs would suggest. I mean, it can still do an absolutely beautiful image today, despite the fact that it's only 1080 by 960 per eye. By all accounts, that should be garbage, but it's not. It's still, you know, Blood and Truth, Fract. These games are beautiful in the headset still. And the reason for this is that RGB pixel arrangement of the device's AMOLED panel. Other headsets of the time also used OLED, but the SDE was much more noticeable on them in spite of technically having a higher resolution. We now know that this isn't the number of pixels that matters the most, but rather the number of sub-pixels. Having confirmation of PS5VR's Samsung OLED panel is great, but if we could get confirmation of a possible third sub-pixel, then it'll be so much better. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, Roots. A lot of people don't understand what we're talking about here with regards to pixel arrangement. So there are two different types of displays that are widely used in these VR headsets. Pentile displays, like the original Rift, like the original Vive, versus RGB displays, like the original PlayStation VR. Like all of the modern LCD headsets, they all use RGB displays. And there are two main differences between these two different display types. One is literally how the pixels are displayed or put together. The Pentile displays use this kind of checkerboard square arrangement, which has a noticeable gap in between the pixels that really comes through as SDE inside the headset, whereas the RGB is just kind of woven together like a rug. But the other big difference is what we just talked about. Pentile displays have two subpixels per pixel, while RGB displays have three subpixels per pixel. So when people look at resolution, they're not getting the full story. If you really want to gauge how crisp and sharp a display's pictures is going to be, you really have to look beyond the resolution at a stat called subpixels per degree. When you get a good hard spec sheet on these displays, you can work out what the subpixels per degree is. And from that, you can pretty accurately dictate what the overall experience is going to be for you. For example, when Rift S came out, along with Oculus Quest and Valve Index, people were saying that Valve Index was going to be so far ahead of the Rift S based on the resolution. But when you broke it down to subpixels per degree, the difference wasn't as big as everyone thought it was going to be. And then when the headsets were released, we come to find out that that was exactly the case. So, Roots, you know, a lot of people marvel at the original PSVR and how viable it still is today. What a lot of people don't realize is it was kind of a unicorn at the time, being that it had an OLED, but it also had the RGB pixel arrangement. And I think that that's the reason why it's had such legs. And I'm hoping that the next generation also has this same RGB arrangement so that the device remains viable all the way through PlayStation 6.
Well, not only that, but like even if the specs, like if it's at 4K with those extra subpixels, it's going to make it look amazing this generation, right? I'd have to imagine that they would want to stick with it it worked so well. And like you said, they're very aware that Blood and Truth looks phenomenal, almost better than Quest 2 game. It really is why we think sometimes they're doing magic. Like, what, how is this working? But it's really just, the subpixels. So,
well, they understand, you know, we've kind of always seen this from not only from Sony hardware, and I'm not just talking about VR, I'm talking about in general, but we've seen the same thing from Apple. They understand that when you're talking about a screen that people are going to be staring at for hours upon hours upon hours, the foundation is that screen.
Yeah.
That screen is what everything else is built around. So by investing in a super high quality screen, you'll have a device that people can use for many years to come. And we saw that with the original PlayStation VR. We're going to see it again with this iteration. I think we're going to see it in the Apple headset as well. But in a time where all of the competition, whether it be Valve or whether it be Facebook, whether it be HP, they're all going to cheaper panels, to lesser quality panels, LCD panels, to save a dollar. It's interesting to note that Sony's sticking with the OLED and putting their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, well, Sony's
quality. Or where your eyes are, I guess. Putting their money where your eyes are would probably be a better way to describe it.
Well, it is a big part of VR, right? What you're seeing. And they want to deliver that AAA experience, right? And you can't do that without the best display out there. So, or one of the best, anyway. You could do it, but I'd rather have it be amazing.
Well, you know, I never was, I didn't know about HDR. I mean, I knew it was a thing, but I never owned an HDR panel until I picked up my PlayStation 5. And when I knew I was getting my PS5 console, I went out last Christmas, and actually it wasn't even Christmas, I don't think. I went out and bought two 4K HDR television sets. And let me tell you, the difference is real, man. Playing Astro's Playroom, playing Returnal, playing these next-gen games on a 4K OLED with HDR turned on, it's noticeable. The brightness, the darkness even of these the blacks, the OLED blacks, it really is a real difference. And, you know, this makes my heart sing with joy, Roots, when you talk about having another high-end VR headset with an OLED panel, because, man, as much as I love my Quest 2 and as much as I love my HP Reverb G2, I also love playing horror games, and those typically tend to be dark games. And when you get into these games in these new headsets that use LCD panels, you can't see shit, man, because everything's gray and washed out. So I'm so happy that Sony recognizes this and is showing what they've always shown, that they are committed to bringing the best gaming experience available to its user base.
Ah, well, that's definitely, I agree. And Alan Kara says Samsung makes good screens, which kind of leads into the next part of your notes there, right?
Well, it leads into the last part of the notes, actually. Samsung actually, according to Bloomberg, Samsung is the manufacturer of this OLED panel that's going into the PlayStation headset.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, Samsung, well-renowned for their OLEDs, and I'm sure that's why Sony decided to use them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, with the chat, we asked them what matters more, field of view or God rays, you know? And basically, it looks like a pretty much, you know, Mepper says field of view. Island Kara says field of view. Zayla Maru, field of view. PSVR Underground says field of view plus durability. Yeah, good point. Let's not forget that. Diz the GameCat, field of view. Libnox says, I think the God rays were super noticeable when I got my Quest 2, but after like 30 minutes, I didn't notice them anymore. Dude, Quest 2 is such an improvement over what the original Rift was. Like, so I started on PlayStation VR, right? And I fell so in love with my PlayStation VR that I wanted more, to the point of building a gaming computer and buying an Oculus Rift, because this was supposedly the ultimate, right? So when I finally spent all these thousands of dollars and built this thing up, and when I got the headset on my face, underwhelmed does not describe how I felt putting that Rift on, seeing that dull display with all these God rays jumping out at me. I said it then and I'll say it now. The PSVR headset is a much better headset than the Oculus Rift CV1 was.
Yeah, absolutely. Except for the controllers and tracking. But as far as the actual headset, visual headset.
I specifically said
it. You're right. Yeah, exactly. But I agree.
Luke Rogie says it depends on the level of the God rays. And I think that that's really my position on it as well. We won't really know until we have the headset. If it's a lot of God rays, then that's going to be a problem. But he says Rift S has the least God rays from any headset that I've seen. So I'd take more field of view if it was at that level. So yeah, let's hope that that Sony doesn't take a step back. Let's hope it's not God rays and glare on the level of the Valve Index or the HTC Vive. Let's hope it's closer to Rift S and Oculus Quest 2.
I have faith in Sony. I don't think that, I mean, they seem to be up in their game at every single level. I don't see that they somehow missed the God rays, you know, but that's just me.
I don't think, you know, it's interesting, Roots, and I don't, you know, I'll try not to spend too long on this because we got to move forward, but you know how Reddit likes to attack people from time to time. It was about 6 months, 9 months ago, I came to the aid of this guy that was getting murdered on Reddit because he was a PSVR user who had just picked up a PC VR headset for the first time. He'd used PlayStation VR for years, finally picked up a PC VR headset and thought his lenses were defective because of the God rays. And he didn't know what they were. Like he's like, every time I put my headset on, there's these, you know, strings that come off of all the bright parts in the screen. I can't take a picture of it, but is my headset broken? And they were murdering him, dude. And I had to explain to him what God rays were. And then of course people attacked me and said, there, you know, they said, no, there's no way this guy doesn't know what God rays are. And I said, look, man, I didn't know what God rays were when I got PCVR either. I had to learn. So this guy absolutely didn't know what God rays were. And I bet that notion is probably a bit humorous to those of you out there who have never owned PSVR. But yeah, it's a bit of a shock coming from that in the PC because you never really saw it before. There's literally zero God rays on PSVR.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they've got it nailed because God rays are a problem if they're too bad. So, I think they'll be good.
Traveling Man 3775, would more field of view help with foveated rendering? Well, if foveated rendering were implemented in the same way that it was on Gen 1 PSVR, then it absolutely would. But I don't think that foveated rendering next generation is going to be the same thing as it has been in the past.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we move on to IPD. Whenever the new headset was announced, or is announced, whenever any new headset is announced, it doesn't take long before people begin speculating about what kind of IPD adjustment it might have. Some people claim that they won't buy a headset if it doesn't have manual IPD slider on it. While we don't yet know how the IPD is going to be adjusted on PS5 VR, it wasn't stated. We do know how the original PSVR was adjusted, and we also know the range of PlayStation 5 VR. So the range of the new VR headset Roots is pretty wide. The low end 59 millimeters, the high end 72 millimeters. So a little bit higher than what your average headset would have on today's market. But, you know, it's pretty much on par with Gen 1 PSVR, which did not have a manual slider. All things considered, I believe that automatic IPD adjustment is pretty much going to be a given with regards to PlayStation 5 VR. Because if you really think about it, the first PSVR, it used an early version of automatic IPD. You know, there was no slider on the PSVR 1. And you didn't even, it wasn't a deal where you go into the settings and put in your number and it adjusts. It literally, you had to go up to the camera, take pictures of your eyes, and then the software automatically sets the IPD for you. So this time around, there's going to be an eye tracking module in there that's able to grab like hundreds of images per second of your eyes. And I think it just, I think it's common sense that if the original had an automatic setting for it, that this new one is going to do the same. Only now we're not going to have to go through this deal where we walk up to the camera and take pictures of our eyes and put the little cross in the middle to really get it perfect. Now it's just going to do it for you. You're going to put the headset on. It's going to see your eyes and boom, you know,
that's the beauty of eye tracking, right? You know, I mean, they're already looking at your eyes, right? So they can, I think it's going to actually be the best, most fine-tuned eye tracking out there, right? Because it's going to look at your eyes in real time and adjust it. And it's not going to have to change per each person. That's the biggest thing. You know, your kids switch it on, put it on, it's automatically just going to switch to them. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And with that said, with regards to, now there might be people out there who disagree with me, but with regards to the Gen 1 PSVR, that IPD adjustment always worked perfectly for me. Like, it was automatic, and a lot of people have a problem with there not being a slider, but the digital automatic adjustment on PSVR Gen 1 always worked well for me.
Well, think about this. Even the Rift S and the Quest, it's been, there's no slider. How many people do you hear, like, legitimately hear complain about IPD now that they've been out? Rift S is gone in the sunset. People made it a big to-do like it was going to be the worst thing in the world. I'm never buying these headsets. There's no manual. And there really was no issue, because if there was an issue, you'd hear story after story after story of people that were, you know, I think it works really well. So,
yeah, and I think that people are going to, this is going to be one of those things with PlayStation 5 VR that people really appreciate and are blown away by for a week, and then everybody's just going to forget about it, because at that point, IPD adjustment's not going to be a thing for them anymore. It's just something that's done on the inside of the machine that they don't have to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Station VR joining the chat. What's up, Dave? Just talking a little IPD. You know, I think, you know, it's interesting, Roots, because, you know, a lot of people make a big deal over these IPD adjustments, and you would think that this was something that really affects a lot of people, the kind of reaction we get with it, right? You'd think that this were God rays or field of view or something that's a little more tangible to the game. Unless most people fall to the outside of that range, but, you know, I got to imagine that can't be the case, can it?
I'm not sure, but Zaylin Maru and Chris Richardson are proving me wrong in real time, Wes. Zaylin Maru said that Rift S did not work for them, and Chris Richardson says Quest 2 IPD is worse for him, but we just deal with it.
So I'd be interested to know, is it just not wide enough for you guys? Like, when you set it all the way out, is it just not quite there with regards to the sweet spot of the lenses?
Mm. Well, okay, let's think about this, Wes. I didn't even think about that, man. I somehow was like right in the two, perfect. Like, I even said it actually increased the FOV for me. It was like the sweet spot was made for my eyes. So I'm a little jaded as far as, or at least, you know, I'm biased in that respect. I didn't think about that.
It was a little different for me. Like, I'm on the top range. Like, my IPD is like 69. It's like right toward the top of most headsets. Like, I use a 3 on the Oculus Quest 2, and on my HP Reverb, I have to literally slide the thing all the way to the side to get it perfect. So if it, like, my eyes were any more wide apart, then I would be suffering as a result. So I'm sure there are people out there who this is going to be a problem for, but, you know, then again, 72 degrees is a little bit wider than your average headset as well. So again, a lot of this is going to fall back to the lenses and how big the sweet spot of the lenses are, because after all, it is all about that sweet spot. It's the reason why people like the manual adjustment. Mm,
absolutely. Traveling Man says 3775. The middle setting on Quest 2 is perfect with the glasses spacer in. You might try that and see what.
Yeah, I have to use the glasses spacer, or I had to. I had to use the glasses spacer when I was using the original facial interface, because I was getting God rays on the Quest 2 when I first used it, and it was really disappointing to me. But I found, you know, one day when I was adjusting it, I just kind of relieved the pressure off of my face a little bit, and the thing snapped right into focus as I pulled it out.
Oh, wow.
And then I went and grabbed that glasses spacer and put on it and put it back on, and all those God rays disappeared. So the lenses were actually too close to my eyes, but when I used that glasses spacer, everything went right into normal. And now that I have the VR cover interface, I don't even need the glasses spacer. It has enough cushion and padding to it that it holds it right out at the perfect distance for me.
I wonder if maybe that's one of the reasons why they're also switching all the interfacings outside of the rashes it was giving people.
Possibly. It's possibly the reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see here. Chris Richardson says, I'm between a 2 and a 3. 67.5 is my IPD. You know, you can set that between a 2 and a 3. If you're really precise with it, you can set it in between. You don't have to click it all the way out to 3.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess basically they need to go to just digital than the Rift S. Let's go to that. I don't think having 3 sliders was a good idea. Like, just let it slide all over the place so people could put it in between, right?
Right. Dave Station VR, I like the concept of the IPD being automatically set as a result of the eye tracking. I love the idea of it. I love the idea that IPD is going to be something of the past that I don't think about anymore. And there actually is a headset on the market right now that does this, that has eye tracking, that sets the IPD automatically. It's like $3,000 or something, but it does exist. It is nice to know that we're going to be able to have these nice nifty things that cost thousands of dollars today for sub $500 a year from now.
Yeah, absolutely. Dark Angel, Delirium, Drew, and Gamer Chick 13 all dropping in at the same time. Just like, oh my God, I just feel good, man. I like to see all three of those people.
Drew says, hello.
Hello, Gobner.
Hello, mate.
Anyway, automatic IPD, I think, is a given here. Again, the PlayStation VR 1 already has automatic IPD. You just have to take the pictures manually. Now it's all going to be done automatically.
That's good for newbies. That's good for switching headsets. That's just good for everybody.
No, less friction, Roots. We always talk about friction. Mm. Seems like they're getting rid of all the friction.
Yeah, you know who else likes less friction, Wes? Especially in the bedroom?
My mom!
Oh, that's true. That is true. All right, we move on to tracking and controllers. As we already know, the next PSVR will use inside-out tracking. This was confirmed by Sony themselves earlier this year when they unveiled the new controllers. I believe that this is the one thing that we should be the most wary of out of all the stuff we've been talking about. As we know, many companies have implemented inside-out systems that are good enough or playable, but only one company has ever produced an inside-out system that's actually good, and that company is Oculus. Now, with that said, inside-out tracking is on par. Even if we get inside-out tracking that's on par with even the HP Reverb G2, it's going to be a big improvement over Gen 1 PSVR's single-camera, color-light-based system. So while I think that this is probably the area for the biggest amount of concern, I don't think we should really be all that concerned here. I think that unless it's bad on the level of Cosmos, like HTC Cosmos, I think it's going to be an improvement over the original PSVR.
I just don't see Sony putting out subpar tracking, you know? I mean, I know that the last iteration, because it was one camera, but there's so many competitors out there that have done it. Oculus has done it right. there's an example out there. And like I said before, Sony's hitting home runs on every aspect of it. So I would be very shocked if this is where they let it fall, because there's two things that they're very aware of from the first iteration of PlayStation VR. One is the controllers have to be good or better, and the tracking. They're like the bit, it'd be like, you know, your two worst things you need to work on as a person. You know, they're the things you need to work on. You're going to work on those first. I think it's going to be really good tracking.
Yeah. I would tend to agree. I mean, Tony, I'm buying the new Tony headset. Sony typically doesn't half-ass things, right? They generally bring quality hardware to the market, no matter what kind of hardware you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gamerchick 13 joining us in chat, and you may have shouted her out a minute ago, but I'm just now noticing her. Hello, Tiffany. Good to see you.
I love me some Tiffany. I'm happy when she comes by.
Wolveraza says, if you can mimic what Oculus did with the cameras, that would be good. Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's really going to be the telling thing early on here is how many cameras. Like, this is something like I would like to see, you know, obviously the Without Parole guys have some access to these developers. Ask these guys how many cameras this headset's going to have, because that's a big deal. It has to have at least four. Like, if they release pictures of this headset and it's only got two front-facing cameras on it, big red flag goes up, right? Immediately. Because historically, we've never had a headset with only two cameras that has good tracking on it. It typically takes at least four. We've even had five or six from different iterations. So, that's going to be a big deal. And hopefully, we have at least four. And hopefully they're based on the edges pointing outwards so that we can have the most tracking volume possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it will. But only time will tell. I mean, it's not like companies don't make mistakes, blunders, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that. That's just not usually Sony. Usually Sony is very, this is what I'm basing a lot of what's going on in my mind. Is this PlayStation 5 I've been using for the last couple weeks, and just how amazing this hardware is technologically, the Tempest Audio, the hard drive, the controller, the haptics. I mean, it's blown me away. And if it has half of what this system has in it, it's going to be amazing.
Dave Station VR in the chat showing his age, saying Sony, Sony, Sony. And you guys have to read it, look at it to understand what he's talking about. And if you don't, good for you, then you're probably not an old fart like we are.
Yeah.
Anyway, we already knew that the thing was inside out tracked. What we didn't know, however, is that Sony has, they've already revealed that the controllers are going to support capacitive touch sensors for the thumb, index, and middle fingers. This is nothing new. Oculus does this. Most headsets on the market today do this. What we didn't know is that this is going to be a different type of capacitive touch that can sense the position of your fingers even when you're not touching them. So from that, they can infer the position of your last two fingers as well. So it's we've seen these videos of these prototype controllers they have where people are doing this and it's tracking their hand like accurately. When it's not even touching, we're going to get some form of that being sensed through the buttons on the controller. So that's kind of interesting to learn.
Yeah, we get to give the middle finger in VR chat. Who doesn't want to do that, right?
Yeah, the old California howdy.
That's right.
And when Half-Life Alyx makes its way to PlayStation, we're going to get to finally live that dream of crushing those cans, Roots.
Yeah, man. You know what the best part is, though? We won't have to worry about the drifting joystick for the index controllers.
Well.
Let's hope. Crossing fingers.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed on that one. Anyway, I thought this was a cool, neat little touch here. You know, when they announced that capacitive touch capability, people were like, so what? Who cares? Everybody has that. Not so fast, friends. These are special analog, they're calling it. capacitive touch. So not your average, ordinary, everyday controllers here.
Well, Aylin Kara says they'll be given the middle finger all day. And I don't blame you. This is a middle finger world. And if you can do it in VR, you might as well. I don't blame you.
So moving on to haptics, Sony has already confirmed that the new motion controllers will have the adaptive triggers and support HD haptics, just like PS5's DualSense controller. We have since heard rumors that the headset itself will also support haptic feedback. PlayStation Without Parole confirms this, but apparently it will not be the same HD haptics that are in the controllers, but rather haptics that are more in line with PlayStation 4's DualShock controller. It appears that while this feature will in fact serve to increase immersiveness, this is not its primary function. Previously released patents point to the HMD-based haptics as a means to mitigate VR sickness. And as it turns out, this is exactly what it's intended to do. So Root's increased immersiveness is just kind of a happy byproduct of this. This is something that they're doing because apparently it makes people more comfortable inside the headset.
Oh, how cool, right? Like we need less VR sickness. And if this is going to do it and give us haptics at the same time in the headset, how amazing. I want to feel the rumble of rain. I don't know how that, you know, I was thinking that the next gen haptics in the headset. So I don't know exactly what the DualSense haptics would be in there, but it'd be cool. And Dave Station throwing two shinkles. No, I don't know. What is a shinkle? Tip train. Doot, doot.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for getting the train going as always. Much appreciated.
The conductor has arrived.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is interesting, Roots. You know, it is just basic rumble that they're putting in this thing. But, I mean, it's going to be the first headset we've ever seen that has this type of thing in it. Now, we do have the B-Haptics set up, right, that has a facial thing that has basic rumble in it. And people say it's awesome. It's also hundreds of dollars.
Mm.
And this is just another thing on a laundry list of new features that this headset's going to have at no additional cost. So I think that's pretty awesome. Freeze free, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, it's also comes courtesy with no motion sickness. So that's
right.
Good.
Right. I'll be interested to test this out on people who historically have had some discomfort in VR. Right.
I wonder if this. I was going to wonder if this is going to offset, like, there's discomfort in VR, but then there's also those people that they cannot play any game. Like, they could never play a serious Sam, right? Running around that fast or even just moving at normal speed. That's it, dude. You can't do that. You know, is this going to make it to where? Yeah, Everslot. Is it going to make it to where the point where anybody could jump into any game and none of that affects anybody? Because it will take away the number one argument that I want to slap people for saying, and they'll say, I can't play VR. I got sick one time. Well, you know, let's talk to Wes's wife, who was sick when she first tried it and is a veteran now because she pushed through it, right?
So. Yeah, this is why I'm always, when I talk to people who are new owners of their headsets, I always tell them to use caution with regards to demos and what they put people in for the first time. Don't put them in the biggest, most intense thing. Put them in first steps. Put them in something that's intended for beginners, because if you get VR sickness while you're playing VR, even as awesome as it is, it's like getting food poisoning from your favorite food. I mean, it could be your very favorite thing to eat in the whole wide world. If you vomit for an hour after eating it, it's going to be a long time before you try to eat it again. And I kind of equate that to getting sick from playing VR. Like, you know, it could be the most awesome, you know, technology that we've ever seen with regards to entertainment. But if it makes you sick, you're not going to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to affect you for a long time. Nobody likes to feel sick. And if you feel like X equals Y, you're just not going to do it.
Hawk 107 says many familiar names in chat, but yours, sir, not one of them. Welcome. Welcome to our stream.
Otakazi says, when you say push through it, you mean take it slow, take breaks when you feel sick and not. No. So basically, it was over time. It was like, okay, you play a little bit, you start to feel not right. You step back, you take a break. And then the next time you go a little bit longer, you know what I mean? It's a slow progress. You can be, it can be done. It's just, the worst thing you can do is put, I guess I should rephrase that, is to just like, I'm just going to keep going. Cause then you are going to get sick. If you feel weird in VR, you should always take that cue and step out.
Dark Angel says, anyone else getting a little lagalicious? Is it just me? So I guess we got a little lag going on here in the stream. Thank you, YouTube, for making our return normal.
Well, everything I see is normal. There was one scene that I had where it was some lagaliciousness, but right now I show a steady stream, so I don't know what YouTube's doing. Unless maybe Dark is behind? I don't know.
That's what we like to see with regards to YouTube and with regards to the urologists. We like to see steady stream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we move on to optimization. We have stated on multiple occasions that the next generation of gaming will be defined by new advancements in optimization. We believe that the new optimization techniques will continue to allow console-based systems to perform above their specs, as they always have. PlayStation Without Parole, again, has confirmed that this will in fact be the case with regards to PlayStation 5 VR. It has now been confirmed that PS5 VR will make use of the eye-tracking-based foveated rendering. We also know that this will be used in combination with other techniques, including AMD's newly implemented FSR, to get the absolute most out of the PS5's already beefy hardware. Now, we've spoken about FSR on our channel multiple times in recent weeks, and we've frequently speculated on the potentially significant benefit that AMD's new AI-based upsampling technique could have on the next gen of VR games. It's extremely exciting to now know that this potential is not lost on the wizards at Sony. So we've been talking about FSR for what? A month, 6 weeks now, Roots? It's come up on an almost weekly basis because it's so easy for developers to implement, and it's almost universal that everyone gets a positive result from it. And, you know, when you're talking about flat games, what are we talking about here? The difference in easiness of moving from 1440 to 4K? I mean, it's a drop in the bucket for flat gaming. But with regards to VR gaming, the system resources are always the bottleneck. So to have something like FSR, which effectively uses a little bit of performance to give this fairly significant jump in upsampling, this is a big deal for VR, and we speculated that this could be a big deal for VR. Now we have confirmation that Sony is promoting this, not only as a standalone technique, but something that can be used in connection to eye-tracking-based foveated rendering to produce something that makes a tangible difference with regards to the end user experience. Roots, I feel like this is one of the most exciting things that came out of everything that Without Parole reported this past week. And it makes me want to go back to Carmack and say, see, I told you, because that was what, when I was going back and forth with him on Twitter, I was like, isn't it possible that Sony has some other optimizations in store that would maybe they're able to get more out of the technology than Facebook is. And here we have an example of just that. They cite FSR Roots as well as other lesser known techniques to fully optimize the already awesome PlayStation 5.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Do you think the PlayStation 5 VR is going to be close to load times, like no load times? I mean, obviously it's not going to be, I mean, probably not exactly, but I mean, it's going to be running on the same disc, right? And then you've got these optimizations. I think it's, I think it's everything that we've wanted, and I think all of these things are adding up to that AAA experience that we said, and I still say it today. I don't think anybody's going to care about the cord when everything's said and done, and we're playing these AAA amazing VR experiences and games. We're going to forget that we're tethered, and then the next iteration will come out, and it'll be wireless, and then we'll be cool. So,
yeah, I think that. I think that you're absolutely spot on there. I think that, well, I mean, let's just get into it. The final piece of the puzzle here with what PSVR Without Parole reported to me is the most exciting piece of the puzzle, and that is the software support. And by the way, guys, anyone who's wondering, FSR does have to be implemented by developers, so Sony can kind of instruct people on it. But it's up to the developers to implement it. But with that said, extremely easy to implement. Like, pretty much anybody can do this. It doesn't take much time, and it does produce a tangible benefit.
Yeah.
But software support, the truly exciting part, in my opinion. We previously have had a very good idea of what the PS5 VR hardware is going to be, but we've only been able to blindly speculate about how Sony's going to actually support it with software. We now have a very clear vision, thanks again to PSVR Without Parole. Sony has now indicated that they would like to move away from the experiences and tech demos that defined VR's first generation. The focus will now be on developing AAA-level console-quality titles. Well, you might be asking, well, how can these studios afford to do that when VR is still just a fraction of a percentage compared to the flat gaming market? How can that be sustainable at this still early stage in VR's adoption? Well, Sony has come up with a solution for this, and it's a solution that VR-only companies such as Facebook could never implement. The focus going forward will be to develop hybrid games, meaning that tomorrow's AAA flat games will come with a PlayStation VR counterpart. This is huge news that not only solves the aforementioned problem, but also eliminates entirely the need for the 3D theater mode, which I've constantly called for years at this point. The approach is perfect. And if Sony really stands behind this, this could bring VR into the mainstream much, much more quickly than any of us ever expected. So Roots, you know, we've been yelling for years that if Sony would just implement 3D theater mode, meaning you could put on your PlayStation VR headset, load up your God of War, load up your Spider-Man, what have you, whatever you're playing, and play it on a virtual screen, but in 3D, kind of like Helix Vision, that it would be a big headset seller because now people could play AAA games inside the headset. Well, Sony's taking it one step further, Roots. They're not just going to do that. They're going to give us full VR versions of these games, which means now Rockstar has some monetary incentive to make a VR game. You know, it means now that all of your big AAA companies out there are going to have some incentive to make a AAA VR game because they're going to be able to sell it to flatties as well. This, in my opinion, Roots, is the big news that came out this past week, and I could not be more excited for the future because of this one announcement.
Oh, man, I'm excited that I'm seeing a green box over there for the first time in the last couple of minutes. You couldn't have nailed it more. Like, this is huge. The fact that they actually are going to have incentive to bring these games into VR, you know, that's the one thing these studios haven't had. They haven't had a reason to do it, right? So now they will. And I'm wanting to play Returnal, but I'm scared because I've never seen this boss. And it's this game is crazy, dude. I just love it. I can't wait to play it in VR.
Yeah, and I think that it's I think it's a pretty good possibility that we're gonna get some form of this in VR. And you know, it starts to make more sense now because we've heard rumors for probably a year at this point that Horizon Zero Dawn is going to get some kind of VR treatment coming up. We've heard rumors that a possible upcoming Silent Hill game might get the VR treatment at some point coming up. Resident Evil 8, Gran Turismo 7, all of these big titles, we're wondering where the VR version is. Well, now we're seeing it. Now we know. It's going to roll out with this new headset.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. And I mean, the timing, dude. Like, I mean, there's going to be enough. There's enough time that they're able to be working. These studios are able to be working on these games right now and all the way up until. I can't wait to see what comes out. What do you think is going to come out with PS5 VR? Any predictions? Farpoint 2?
It would all be guesses at this point. I think that Spider-Man's a pretty good bet. I think Half-Life Alyx is a pretty good bet. I'm hopeful for Stormland or maybe even a Stormland sequel. But, I mean, we could do a whole episode on just that topic. And we are literally out of time, so we're not going to do that.
We will on a future date, maybe.
One more tidbit before we sign off here. Many people have hoped for full backwards compatibility for the original PlayStation VR library. And, you know, we've said it before, this is kind of an unrealistic expectation, as these games would all have to be rebuilt for this drastically different hardware system. Now, with that said, Sony has stated that they are going to push for next-gen remasters of select titles from the PSVR catalog. So I think that it's safe to expect that now we're going to get improved versions of those exclusive titles that have always set the PSVR catalog apart.
That's better.
So our Farpoints, our Russia Bloods, our Astrobots, our Blood and Truce, all of these favorites that really makes PSVR what it is. We're going to get 4K remasters of these roots.
That's better. That's better because we're more apt to get them. Because there's a financial incentive, right, for these companies to make a 4K remastered. They're not just doing it to put it out as a free patch. You know, if it's going to be a remastered version, they're going to charge for it, and I will pay for it. So I think it's good.
I think it was Eddie C in the chat. Give me just a second here. I lost it. ADC says PCVR is dead. Go play Everslot, dude, and come back and tell me. PCVR is always going to have its place. It's going to be home for indie developers. It's also going to be the home for mods. You know, the modding community is always going to be on PCVR. Now, with that said, Roots, if we have Sony out there bringing about this revival of AAA VR games, it is going to devalue the mods a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, but I mean, these, you know, who knows, maybe mods will be able to be put in here, but I don't think in the whole scheme of things, it's going to make things amazing, and I can't wait to play Rush of Blood Remastered.
Dave Station VR says that that's just a standard enemy, Roots, it's not a boss.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I didn't look at the screen, I don't know what you were talking about, but yeah, apparently it's not a boss.
Okay. Crazy.
Yeah, once you get into like the late in the second level, early third level, some of the regular enemies are just nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's getting harder and harder, and it's just such an amazing game.
Anyway, we're running out of time. I don't want to shortchange VinVR Adventures, so we're gonna lead off tomorrow's episode by talking about VinVR Adventures. So those of you tuning in to hear our thoughts on that beta, we will talk about it tomorrow at the very beginning of the episode. So be sure, if you haven't already, hit the big red button, hit the bell. We're going to be back in less than a day's time talking about everything that's happened since Roots and I went on our little hiatus, and also talking about VinVR Adventures. So be sure to tune in for that.
Yeah, everybody's saying that we're off the air. But some people are saying we're still going. So I'm confused. I see that we're still going. So we're here.
Well, we're going to assume that we're still on, but and then end it. So what do you think, friends? What do you think is going to, how do you think the PS5 VR is going to be received? Are people going to have a problem with the lack of an IPD slider or the potential God rays? Are people going to be underwhelmed with the only 10 degree increase in field of view? Or are people going to be absolutely blown away with the advancements in optimization, with the new hybrid flat/AAA VR game. Let us know what you think in the comments down below. If you like the video, give it a thumbs up. And if you're new to the channel, hit the big red button. Hit the bell. Again, we're going to be back in less than a day, and you're not going to want to miss out on that.
Absolutely.
For those of you who do not want the conversation to end, all you have to do is scroll down to the description below, and you will find an invitation to our Discord, where the conversation never ends, and where you're all welcome. The Virtual Strangers Discord is home for the hardcore VR enthusiast, and we invite you to make it your home.
Absolutely.
Anyway, with all of that said, friends, we'd like to thank you all once again for watching. And for Roots, I'm Wes. We'll see you tomorrow, friends. Bye now.
Take it easy.